This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Here's a look at this day in history. December 7th.
In 1917, the U.S. officially declared war on the Austro-Hungarian Empire, 8 months after entering World War I against Germany. On this day in 2002, the Iraqi government of Saddam Hussein formally informed the U.S. that it had no weapons of mass destruction. This day in 2004 saw the inauguration of Hamid Karzai as the first popularly elected president of Afghanistan. And on this day in 1941, 353 Japanese planes attacked Pearl Harbor, crippling America's Pacific Fleet. By the end of the attack, America had lost 19 ships, 188 aircraft, and more than 2,000 lives. A devastating blow that launched the U.S. into the Second World War. And that's this day in history.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. Also, all our sponsors there that support the good cause here. And for you as well, thank you for joining this good cause to do everything we can to get this country back on track. All hands are required on deck. It's not a Republican or a Democratic thing. It's an us thing, the United States kind of thing, right? Bruce Kaufman is with us today as we consider a day that continues to live in infamy. December the 7th, 1941 was the day that President Franklin Roosevelt memorably described it. Six aircraft carriers of the Imperial Japanese Navy sent waves of Japanese fighters, bombers, torpedo planes in a coordinated attack against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. At day's end, the U.S. Pacific Fleet had been all but decimated and destroyed. Over 2,400 Americans had been killed. Nearly 1,300 others had been wounded. This is what Bruce Kaufman wrote several years back as a remembrance of that day that continues to live in infamy. Bruce, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker, is with us to talk about that that day that we commemorate even now, as some of the survivors are barely here with us even to this day. Bruce Kaufman.
Yeah, and it's the 75th anniversary of that attack, Bill, a date which will live in infamy, as President Roosevelt put it. It was, I've written several columns about this. Basically, Pearl Harbor, they were, as I wrote in my column this week, there were blunders, there were mistakes on both sides of this. Mm-hmm. There's been a controversy for 75 years, actually, as to whether the commander of the Navy fleet at Pearl Harbor, Admiral Husband Kimmel, should have been relieved of command after the attack occurred. He has his defenders who say that he was not properly informed about the imminent attack by Washington. He has his detractors who point out that since everyone knew that Japan was up to something in the Pacific and they were going to be attacking somewhere, mm-hmm. and that the U.S. naval fleet at Pearl Harbor was certainly a very ripe and inviting target, Kimmel should have erred on the side of safety. For example, he had the fleet on peacetime alert. Mm-hmm. He gave his sailors the days off on Saturday, especially Sunday, so they could go to church. The Japanese attacked on a Sunday.
Right.
I don't think that was a coincidence. Mm-hmm. He was given a memo from Washington 10 days before the attack asking him to put the fleet in what he called a defensive deployment. In other words, scatter the fleet out to sea in case there is going to be attack. They won't be sitting ducks in the harbor. Well, he ignored that instruction, and they were sitting ducks in the harbor when Japan attacked. So I'm of the camp that Himmel should have been relieved of his command.
Mm-hmm. Well, also coming under a lot of scrutiny was Lieutenant General Walter Short as well, the commander of the Army garrison in Hawaii as well, right?
Yes, right. But there was so much lack of communication, not only between Washington and Pearl Harbor, Bill, but between the Army and the Navy as to what was going to happen and what their reaction should have been had there been an attack. And again, and also, let's remember that the Japanese were going to attack the Philippines, and Douglas MacArthur, as great a general as he was caught completely by surprise with that attack. And he should have, again, put the planes in the Philippines in a defensive position, and he didn't, and they were also sitting ducks when the Japanese attacked.
Well, how much of this, as you say, there was plenty of blame to go around regarding, what happened there in Pearl Harbor. Some would argue that, D.C. really let people down, that there was information. I mean, there were signs along the way, communication that went to D.C. that never made it to Hawaii. I mean, you've got submarines coming through the barrier. One submarine was blown out of the water.
Yeah.
And, and this happened, about an hour and a half before the actual attack.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, you talk about the perfect storm.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. Okay, Bill, this is not well known. This is what I wrote about this week. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Japan's consul in Hawaii, his name was Nagai Kita. Mm-hmm. He was ordered by Tokyo, by the Japanese government, okay, which was basically a military government. Hideki Tojo was the head of the government. Emperor Hirohito was the head of Japan. He was their emperor. Mm-hmm. But Tojo was making most of the decisions. He asked Nagai Kita to send him information, okay, to divide Pearl Harbor into five zones to determine the number of warships in each zone, U.S. warships, and where they were deployed, where they were moored. Okay, we intercepted that message, and instead of sending it to Washington by air, we sent it by ship. So instead of taking 4 days to get to Washington, it wasn't until Washington got it mid-October. It was sent to Washington to be decoded, to be encrypted. Washington encrypted it, read a message from the Japanese government in Tokyo to the consul in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor, saying to them, send us, okay, all the information you have on the military preparedness of the U.S. Naval Fleet at Pearl Harbor, where the ships are moored, how they are divided, that kind of thing. Mm. Somehow in Washington, that was seen as unimportant, that the Japanese government, the military, is asking the consulate in Hawaii to send them information on the military readiness of the Naval Fleet at Pearl Harbor. We did nothing about that. So, yeah, there were blunders all over the place.
Well, and, of course, the other thing that you have here, as you say, just this information, this almost sounds like deja vu, Bruce, that whenever America's attacked, you've got information being stifled. There's not that cooperation between agencies. I mean, even after 9/11, there was a remedy supposedly, put into play, laws enacted so that we wouldn't do this. And here we are 75 years later. And we find ourselves in some ways almost in a similar position where agencies are not necessarily cooperating to avoid, incidences like what happened 75 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After 9/11, Bill, there were a whole ton of articles, including one I wrote, on the comparisons between Pearl Harbor and 9/11, in the fact that agencies were not communicating with one another, that they were, in some cases, deliberately withholding information from one another. Yeah, that problem has not been solved. No question about that.
Well, and the Beltway, I mean, let's talk about what was going on. I mean, Japan was talking to the United States. Then you have a clear break-off, a disruption of relationship. What did Washington think was going to happen then when, the Japanese delegation said, hey, we've had it. We're out of here.
Yeah. In fact, and in Hawaii, the U.S. consulate, we did an illegal FBI wiretap to learn that the consulate in Hawaii is burning papers. Okay. They're burning all the papers in their offices. That would suggest that they've got something to hide. It would also suggest, by the way, that they're planning on leaving the consulate. Now, why would they be leaving the consulate? Because they know of the imminent attack on Pearl Harbor. And we did nothing about that. Yes, absolutely. The blunders, the defense here, Bill, is that, okay, we knew an attack was coming, but we didn't know where. Mm-hmm. But once again, as with Husband Kimmel, you always err in a situation like that on the side of being over-prepared, of being over-defensive, mm-hmm. of being over-safe, and we were not.
Well, and there's something about, let's put in perspective, you know, having duty in Hawaii. I mean, that was kind of, you know, that was a great duty to have, and a bit laissez-faire, we might say. And they fell victim to their own psychology a bit 75 years ago. More coming up from Bruce.
Air in our homes is up to 5 times more contaminated than outside air. The solution is not just to filter your air, but detox it. UVforLife.com now offers a doctor-recommended UVforLife.com sterilization unit to kill over 99% of viruses, bacteria, molds, and dangerous chemicals. Go to UVforLife.com. Add promo code GCN at checkout to save $100. That's UV, the number 4. Life.com. UVforLife.com. Don't just filter your air, detox it.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Getting America back on track.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Bill Martinez live.
Back with the American 19 minutes after the top of the hour as we remember 75 years ago the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and we're talking 353 Japanese aircraft, including 40 torpedo planes, 234 bombers, 79 fighters, attacking battleship Roe and Hickam Field and other military installations on December the 7th, 1941. It resulted in the deaths of over 2,000 American men and women. And, you know, the lingering question 75 years later, Bruce, is how could this happen? I mean, you think about that kind of massive armament coming across the Pacific Ocean. How do they get within striking distance and just be, you know, unnoticed? I mean, it's not like they had cloaking devices here.
No, they didn't. It was again, Bill. I would say there's a measure of luck here that they're crossing 3,000 miles, this huge armada, and it's crossing 3,000 miles of the Pacific Ocean, and they were not detected. There was part luck, but it was again partly a lack of vigilance on our part. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was also just very quickly. Japan engineered a pretty decent bluff, which was they had a Japanese fleet that was heading towards Thailand, and we thought that they were going to attack there. We thought that was we were all wondering where they were going to attack, and information came to Roosevelt about 3 or 4 days before that there was a Japanese fleet heading for Thailand, and so we thought maybe that's where they were going to strike, but that was a total diversion. The main fleet was the one coming towards Pearl Harbor. That was the main attack. So, I mean, again, the Japanese were very clever. They were very lucky, but in part was our lack of vigilance. We should have, as I said before, been over-cautious, over-defensive, knowing that Japan was going to be attacking somewhere in the Pacific.
Well, again, and you pointed this out in your article, in the comparative article with 9/11, is the arrogance of America. You know, here we are, we're protected by water. I mean, who's going to attack the great American empire with all our military strength and that? And, of course, you know, up to that point, let's hold in perspective and remember the United States did not want to get involved. We were doing everything we could, you know, to remain neutral and stay out of the fray. I mean, we'd just come out of World War One. The last thing that we wanted to do was get back into war again.
Absolutely, which in some ways makes no sense that the Japanese attacked us. Mm-hmm. Because the only way that the Japanese, why would they attack us, okay? Did they really worry that we cared about what they were doing in Southeast Asia? They were trying to create this mini empire in Southeast Asia. Did you think the American people, if you put Southeast Asia on the map and point, okay, tell me where Malaya is, tell me where Burma is, 7 out of 10 people wouldn't have known. We couldn't have cared less what the Japanese were doing in Southeast Asia. The only reason that we went to war with them was because they attacked us.
Exactly. And not only we go to war with them, so now we enter into the fray in the European theater as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we're now fighting a two-front war. That's an interesting other story because everybody has always assumed that Roosevelt purposely baited the Japanese into attacking us, knew about the attack ahead of time, and that's because he wanted to get into a war with Germany. There are a lot of historians who say that Japan, the attack on Pearl Harbor, we baited them to do that, and it was a backdoor way for us to go to war against Germany. I don't know how that logic works.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I don't understand how anyone would think that we're going to get to fight, the American people are going to support Roosevelt fighting Germany when it was the Japanese that attacked us.
Once again, reminded of that saying, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
Well, Bruce, 75 years later, looking back, what are we missing? What's being underreported here?
Well, one of the things that's being underreported is that in some ways the attack was not a military success. Okay, they hit the battleships. But here's what they did not hit. They did not hit the repair and maintenance facilities. They did not hit the fuel storage tanks. They did not hit the submarine base. And, again, luck on our part, our aircraft carriers were out to sea on training maneuvers, so they did not hit our aircraft carriers. Mm-hmm. As a result of this, okay, the guy who was ahead of the air attack, the Japanese air attack, his name was Minoru Genda. He wanted a second strike, okay, in order to destroy the maintenance facilities and the storage tanks and so on. But the fleet commander, Chuichi Nagumo, overruled him, and so the Japanese fleet headed home. As a result of that, we were able to repair our fleet at Pearl Harbor rather than having to go back to California and limp back to California and get it repaired there and then come back to Pearl. So we were able to get back to battle readiness a lot sooner because the Japanese missed those key targets. And that would prove to be crucial because the biggest battle of the naval battle of the Pacific was the Battle of Midway 6 months later, which we won. And we were ready for that battle a lot sooner than we would have been had we had gone back to California. So conventional wisdom aside, militarily, the attack on Pearl Harbor was not really a true success for the Japanese.
Well, you know, and what you suggest here, Bruce, was the can-do kind of let's-make-it-happen kind of spirit that brought America together. I mean, you talk about a unification that was going on. I mean, let's talk about how long it would take traditionally to put a boat on the water. I mean, we're talking, the pace that they were doing prior to was measured in years. And suddenly the president says, look, here's the vision for this country. We need boats out in months.
Right.
And so there was a real quick change in expectation and in results because of what happened in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's a cliche, but the Japanese awoke a sleeping giant. They thought they were going to cower us into, staying. We'd be too fearful to go against the Japanese. They awoke a sleeping giant. That the other interesting thing here, Real Bill, is that 4 days after Pearl Harbor, Adolf Hitler declared war against us. He did not have to. He had a treaty with Japan, but it was defensive.
Right.
But Hitler, like the Japanese, underestimated our ability to gear up for war. And we all know the end result of that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you say the Japanese fleet, they return home. Of all places, where do they come home to?
Well, a significant part of the Japanese fleet, this is the irony of ironies, they came back to much fanfare, cheering, waving, Japanese flags, waving in the air. Part of the fleet returned home to the Japanese port city of Hiroshima.
Mm.
And it was at the end of the war that Hiroshima became the first of the Japanese cities to be targeted for our atomic bomb, which basically hastened the end of the war for the Japanese.
Well, Bruce, I maintain that what happened 75 years ago in bringing us into World War II, I agree with President. It is a day, and if not even a day, an era that would live in infamy, because what happened in World War II and even how it ended to this day, even though survivors of World War II, they're far and few between anymore. We lose them every day. But yet the psychological impact of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the bombing, the war, they said after World War One it was the war to end all wars. Right?
Yep.
And then here we go into World War Two, and some are suggesting that we're in World War Three right now, but not even realizing it.
Yep, absolutely, Bill. It was, as Roosevelt said, it was a date which shall live in infamy, and it really has been. It has been that, and here we are 75 years later, and we're all learning lessons about it, and I'm glad it's something that we never, ever forget.
Well, and fortunately for us, we live in a country that can talk about this. You imagine, Bruce, if this would have happened in other countries, what they would have done with the information. I mean, this is why our First Amendment right is so powerful, and the right for the people to know what's happening, so that we truly cannot or truly can avoid duplicating this mistakes. I mean, some of these things happen because of our own humanity. We're human beings, and sometimes we just don't want to learn the lessons, But the potential here is that when there is full disclosure and there is that transparency, we can be a lot safer as a result of that, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, because the civilian has priority over the military, you need the American people united behind you when you go to war.
Well, does Admiral Kimmel and General Short get exoneration? Do they get any kind of consideration here after 75 years?
I'll say let's give them forgiveness.
Yes. Okay. I'm with you. Bruce Kaufman, our favorite historian on Bill Martinez Live. Bruce, where can they go for more information very quickly? 5 seconds.
To my historylessons.net website, Bill. Historylessons, one word, plural, .net.
Well, Bruce, as always, thank you so much for the history lesson. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 after the top of the hour.
Is it time to be thankful? But when financial hardships hit the small town of Grundy, Virginia.
You put half these people out of work. I didn't want any of this to happen.
When everything seems lost, hope can find you.
You can call me CJ. We've been praying for you.
This December, believe in miracles around you.
All things are possible to those who believe.
Believe. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now play. For tickets and information, go to www.believe.film.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling.
It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24-7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
We the people.
When I used to live in San Diego, there was a family that adopted us for Christmas, and they brought us a whole bunch of presents, and they filled out our Christmas tree.
When I was a kid, I'd always wake my parents up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and go and open presents.
First Christmas at home with my children.
We're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, good to have you along with us, joining the good fight to get this country back on track. Well, for many, owning a home is part of the American dream even still. But the new year and a new president brings a lot of uncertainty for both homeowners and sellers. One of the biggest questions: what will happen to the housing market once President-elect Donald Trump takes office come January? Would the housing outlook be different if Hillary Clinton were elected president? Well, we will soon find out. But here to give us some insight and some reasonable prognostication is Ralph McLaughlin. He is Trulia's chief economist, leads Trulia's housing economics research team, and provides house hunters with key insights about the economy, housing trends, and public policy. And we have him on with us this morning to give us the benefit of his insight. Ralph, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much for coming on. I know many people are having questions going into this new year. Is this the time to buy a new home and get a part of that American dream that we all grew up with?
You're exactly right. You know, and we just ran a survey, actually before and after the election, asking consumers about their perspectives on 2017. And, you know, this election, which I think took a lot of people by surprise, also has taken home buyers by surprise. And we really see a split along political affiliation. So before the election, Republicans were actually very pessimistic about buying a house in 2017. More of them said 2017 would be worse than 2016. After the election, it was a major swing, a 26-point swing from being net pessimistic to being net optimistic about buying a home next year. Democrats, on the other hand, exactly the opposite. There was a 23 percentage point pessimistic swing You know, before the election, you know, when many polls were saying that Clinton was going to win, you know, they were very optimistic about not just buying a home, but also selling a home, getting a mortgage, and renting. And, you know, for the most part, many of them now are pessimistic. So, you know, the big question is, you know, is this just a honeymoon effect from a surprise election, or is it going to last? You know, I think our opinions here is that, you know, because it was such a surprise, it was, you know, for all intents and purposes, a Hail Mary victory, that it, you know, there might be lasting effects. We might see, you know, Republican households, especially in bargain belt metros. So these are metros in relatively affordable places in the Midwest and the South. Really take this confidence with them into the following year, and maybe start to make you know, decisions about buying a house where they exactly. You know, may not have before. So you know, that was a big finding from our work this year.
Do you see this as being somewhat more psychological, as you say, is that you got really the divide of the country, half the country looking at the glass half full, the other looking at it half empty, right?
Oh, we absolutely think it is psychological. And, you know, and I don't think there's anything different about, you know, someone being on the winning side and being optimistic and someone on the losing side being pessimistic, right? You know, I think that always happens. You know, if your football team wins, you know, you're going to be excited about next week. If your football team loses, you're not.
Right.
But, you know, I think what was different was the fashion, the fashion that President Trump won. It really was, you know, like a Hail Mary victory, and so we think the psychological impact of that is much more pronounced than, you know, a game where your team, you know, is expected to lose or expected to win, right? And so
yes.
We think there may be more lasting consequences because of that, you know, relative to just, oh, well, my team lost or my team won.
Well, Raul, what do you say the consumers have to look forward to?
Well, you know, one thing they don't is actually higher mortgage rates.
Right.
You know, if I start there, you know, we've seen mortgage rates go up. But, you know, fortunately for the housing market, you know, it's still a better deal to buy a house than to rent one, you know, regardless of where you are in the country. But, you know, in the heart of the U.S., you know, mortgage rates would have to be, you know, 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%. And we don't think mortgage rates are going there anytime soon. So, you know, you know, households there don't have to worry about increasing mortgage rates. You know, we also think that those that are in the bargain belt, you know, have seen some signs that job growth will pick up. You know, if we look at our 10 markets to watch in 2017, half of them are in Florida, and the other half are in or near the rest of the South. And you know, so we think these areas will start to catch up to the costly coast. Places like San Francisco, L.A., and New York have seen house prices boom. They're starting to slow down. There's a lot of, you know, discouraged Democrats in those markets now. And so we really think that there will be this tend towards leveling, you know, between the country, which, you know, we actually think is good news for those that have been priced out of the expensive, costly coast, and also good news for, you know, home buyers and just households in general in the bargain belt who may feel like they've been left behind.
What should consumers be concerned about then?
You know, again, you know, for the most part, we don't have to be concerned a lot about mortgage rates. However, if you are in expensive areas, New York, Honolulu, or San Francisco, if mortgage rates, you know, top 5%, 5.5%, definitely have to be concerned about that, because it means the cost of buying is going to be roughly the same as the cost of renting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another concern which really has plagued most of the country has been inventory. You know, inventory is low. It's hard to find a home, and it's especially hard to find a home if you're a starter home buyer. You know, those homes that are in the lower third of the price range are really, really tough to find. So, you know, first-time home buyers are still going to, you know, struggle to find those homes, but we expect as prices continue to rise that more people will put their homes on the market, and that will help.
Well, we're talking with go ahead, Ralph. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
And so the last thing that, you know, buyers, you know, do have to be aware of is also rising rents in some markets. And rising rents matter, because if your rents go up, it's less money that you can save up for a down payment. So, you know, those are the things that we're watching on the buyer side.
Well, we're talking with Ralph McLaughlin, Trulia's chief economist, giving us insight about the housing market, sharing some tips for buyers. What about tips for sellers?
Tips for sellers. Well, good news if you're a seller. With inventory being down in many markets, it means there are more buyers relative to that inventory. It doesn't mean that you can be lackadaisical as a seller, right? Buyers want to have a move-in ready house. So, you know, if your house, you know, has a lot of deferred maintenance, you know, it's probably going to be a good idea for you to get that house in as good shape as you can, just because buyers will pay a premium for a house that's move-in ready. On the flip side, if you're going to sell your house, you are going to be a buyer at some point, right? If you're going to need a place to live. And so then you are going to be faced with the same challenges that buyers have faced. So, as a seller, I'd focus one on, getting your house in good order, and two, looking ahead to finding your next house, because that's where the challenge is going to be.
Well, with a survey that you conducted, prior to and then subsequent to this election, let's talk about some of the more interesting findings of your survey.
Aside from, the revived Republicans and discouraged Democrats that we talked about, perhaps the other interesting finding from the report was that we are seeing signs that the American dream is fading. Over the last year, the share of Americans who tell us that home ownership is part of their American dream has fallen. It's not fallen to, overly concerning levels. But what is interesting is that millennials have seen the biggest drop. Last year, 80% of millennials told us that homeownership is part of their American dream. That fell sharply to 72%. But young persons are actually, millennials are an interesting species. at the same time, they tell us that they do plan to buy a home someday. 83% tell us they do plan to buy a home, but they're not going to do it for a couple years. Most of them say they aren't going to consider buying a home till at least the end of 2018. So we don't think 2017 is going to be the year of the millennial home buyer. We think we might see some uptick, but there are signs that the American dream is fading amongst them. And I think another stat which, really helps support that is that, if you look at the home ownership rate, it's near a 50-year low. Part of that is because there are a lot of young persons. But also many young persons are stuck at home. About 34, 35% are still living with their parents.
Exactly. Well, Ralph, we're out of time. Just to sum it up, where can they go for more information?
www.trulia.com/trend.
There it is. Ralph McLaughlin, Trulia's chief economist. Ralph, thank you.
This report is brought to you by FICO. Holiday season is finally here. That means more time with loved ones, more delicious food on our plates, and even more spending at every corner. But did you know that under-budgeting your holiday plans could put your credit score on the naughty list? Financial expert Manisha Thakur has a few tips on how to stay on top of your credit score and keep your holiday season festive without breaking your bank.
It's really important to know where your credit stands before you start making that gift list. Start by checking your FICO score online to lay the foundations for a realistic budget that you can stick to. And consider paying down credit balances as utilization counts for 30% of your score. New credit cards also affect your FICO score, so be sure to shy away from those tempting store accounts. Most importantly, keep an eye out for any suspicious activity causing mischief on your account. That way, your holiday giving can be generous and responsible.
For more holiday tips, visit www.ficoscore.com.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. It's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health.
To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Sandy sleigh might fly right on past, with all the camouflage around this place. So we bought every string of lights Walmart had. Now he can see the house from outer space.
Hey, let's check it out. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. It's where you want to go. Get involved in the conversation at B. Martinez Live. James Herson is with us, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Admitted to practice in the U.S. Supreme Court. Has made several appearances there on various landmark decisions. Mr. James, how are we doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, doing terrific. I mean, it's my favorite time of year. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really is special. You know, I grew up in Chicago, and it was like this bright light in the tough winter.
Yeah.
Knowing that Christmas was coming and the great music that we have at Christmas, and knowing that, you know, in the future, there won't be as much of a war on Christmas. Because we have, you know, a sympathetic government now, and maybe the department stores and the powers that be a little more intimidated about squelching the Christmas spirit like
exactly.
They have been Grinches of the past.
Why? Exactly. I mean, you think they were all looking for the same parking space or something at the malls? They're so grumpy. I mean, come on, lighten up here. It's Christmas with a capital C, for goodness sakes. Hey, I want to talk about Trump's Hollywood pick for Treasury Secretary. About the only thing that most people knew about Steve Mnuchin is that he came from Goldman Sachs, but he's had quite a storied history, hasn't he?
He is. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned Goldman Sachs. I mean, you look at the Trump team, the Trump cabinet, one of Trump's key guys is the strategist, Stephen K. Bannon, who is a Hollywood dealmaker, and I met him in that context, and also has a Goldman Sachs background. And Steve Mnuchin was there for 17 years and made a significant amount of money there and went into Hollywood. And he is known in the business as a packager, a guy that is able to take ideas, sometimes studio, sometimes non-studio, and bring them together with investors, which is how movies are financed. And so thus he gets production credit, usually as an executive producer or a producer. There's lots of producers. But his it's really interesting. His resume is filled with credits on films that were successful. You know, Donald Trump talks about wanting winners. This guy's a winner. He produced the X-Men franchise, the Lego movie, Batman versus Superman. Well, that was kind of a weak film. I didn't like that much. But recently, Sully,
Suicide Squad. He's responsible for executive producing Avatar, which is one of the highest grossing films in history. And he's known in Hollywood. He's actually a guy that's shown up in you know, groups of conservatives, the small groups. And he ended up being Trump's finance chairman, very smart of Trump to have him, and did a great job, an unbelievable job. And now he's going to be Treasury Secretary. And in that role, he will play a very key part of what's probably the most important part of Trump's initial agenda, and that is to jumpstart the economy, get the growth rate going, do all of the things that have been talked about, a package of tax cuts, renegotiating the trade deals, you know, changing energy policy, and some select infrastructure work. I think we're headed, and I think the stock market is showing this,
without a doubt,
for a growth rate, you know, in a year or two, that will be Reagan-esque or beyond.
Well, dare we say the stock market and the world, for that matter. Look what's happening at the world on the global side. I mean, they're all excited about a strong America.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, there's as every single cabinet member has announced, the attacks begin. You know, I saw a wonderful tweet today. You know, Ben Carson was announced to be the head of HUD.
Right.
And the Twitter guy wrote, CNN is feverishly trying to find a way to make Ben Carson into a white supremacist. But they've already attacked him. Pelosi comes out and calls him disturbingly unqualified. This is from Pelosi, who said passed a bill that she never read.
Right.
You know, she's an expert on...
Well, and she's convinced, she says, there's nothing wrong with the Democratic Party. They have the right message, she says. And she actually said that with the same straight face that she said when you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Mnuchin has a long history as a successful businessman, and you can't be a successful businessman without some mishaps. Mm-hmm. And he's had some. He had Relativity Media, a studio that wanted to do well but ended up going bankrupt. He also bought into a bank. And the left is out there already, you know, he's not qualified. One of the big things that they attack is they say, well, he's never held governmental positions, which is what we want.
Exactly.
That's why we elect.
That's why we elected Donald Trump, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah. You know, it's this kind of stuff, and it's this mindless carping that we see. I mean, for them, the one guy that really they haven't attacked is Mad Dog James Mattis,
Marine General.
And I think even most of the left realize that this guy is way beyond attack. He is somebody that people that have served with him, they don't just endorse him. They don't just recommend him. They love him.
Exactly.
He is a real, you know, you'd say a man's man.
A man's man, yeah, exactly.
Real, true leadership.
Right.
And in the Marines, and a lot of people don't know this, in the Marines, the officers eat last. In the Marines, the officers lift up the enlisted men. And Mattis is known for a guy that will sleep on the ground at the front line, you know, eat with whatever food they have, with rations, whatever they have. He also relieves. He's known for relieving a young soldier who was scheduled and ordered to be on watch for an evening because it was Christmas. The general comes down and takes over.
How would you like that, huh? I mean, people don't understand this. I mean, being a former Marine, if I had a general coming in to take over my post, Lordy mercy. I mean,
Semper Fi to you. And,
exactly.
You know,
right.
And this is a very special moment for the Marines.
Yes.
That General Mattis is going to be in this position. He's so knowledgeable. He understands the nuance of not just fighting and war, but he understands foreign policy. So it's real hard to criticize him. And it's actually super hard to criticize Steve Mnuchin. The guys in Hollywood that know him say, you know, that he is not just personable, but just a finance whiz, an expert. And they say he's very serious. Lionel Chetwynd is this award-winning screenwriter who's a friend of mine, and he's a active in the small conservative support group that we have. And he says, you know, Mnuchin understands economics in a practical way. Mm-hmm. And I think he is the perfect pick. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been amazing to watch the way Trump has made these selections. And I think it's thoughtful, it's serious, and it's based on the kind of corporate business thinking. Let's get the best
exactly.
people.
Exactly. I mean, because just what we need is more of the same, the politicians that got us into the mess, and let's give them the keys to the car one more time, right?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, you know, I mean, you can't drain the swamp wholesale. You got to have a certain amount of strategic pragmatism. Mm-hmm. But I think we're moving in a great direction, and I think with the big, you know, sort of 5 points that he's going to handle in the 100 days, I think it's going to shock people how much it affects their lives. And it's going to really shock the Democrat Party, because they're going to lose that working class base in the what was the Rust Belt.
They've lost it.
Change.
They lost it. They ignored it. They walked away from it. Hey, James, let's go back and talk about Bannon for a minute. I mean,
sure.
Everybody that I know that knows Steve, I don't know him directly, but they as well just speak very highly of him. And he is driving the Democrats nuts. I mean, they just do not know what to make of it. And they're trying to come up with some sort of scenario like he's the head of the Ku Klux Klan or something. I mean, that's how bad it is.
All this alt-right, white supremacy stuff is all based on nothing. Bannon is a guy. I can tell you this. I've been in a meeting with Steve Bannon. The meeting was with some Jewish Americans mm-hmm. on a potential project. There's no trace of anything anti-Semitic in Bannon. Bannon's partner that he worked with at Breitbart mm-hmm. is Jewish. He worked very strategically with Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, who's an Orthodox Jew. Ivanka's, yeah. by the way, a Jew. So she converted, you know.
Hey.
And so this talk is absurd. Bannon comes from a working class background. He's very Trump-like because he's very driven. He's one of these guys, doesn't sleep a lot. He's got ideas that spring into his head. He's almost manic in a way.
Mm.
And his closest, most valuable employee is an African-American woman for probably a couple of decades. He's had her as his assistant. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. And what it came from is the press, they're doing this meticulous opposition research on everybody associated with Trump, the research they never did on Obama, never did on Hillary Clinton. And they found the two things I often hear is some stuff, the arcane stuff written in one of divorce papers and one of Bannon's marriages. And the woman who wrote it now says it's not true. It was just part of, you know, divorce emotions. And the other thing is there was an article placed on Breitbart that used the term Jew that was written by David Horowitz, who was criticizing Bill Kristol. David Horowitz is a prominent Jewish writer. And he's not allowed to use the word Jew.
Right. Well, James, we're out of time.
In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I've been taking adrenal supplements, including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.